Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Life Design with Linda Sachs. I hope you all enjoyed a beautiful Passover and Easter weekend. Today we're all in for a really special treat. My guest today is actor Josh Carpenter. Josh is living in Los Angeles in an openly gay and happy lifestyle. He grew up in Tyler, Texas, the Rose Capital of the Nation, which I found out yesterday. He is the youngest of five children. Josh has always had a passion for acting. He acted in numerous musicals while he was growing up. He was actually discovered by a talent scout in Texas while he was performing when he was very young. It was at that time that he decided to pursue acting wholeheartedly. After a few years in college, Josh moved out to New York City, where he met and found his second mentor. He spent 8 years in NYC, and by that point he was aching for so much more, and of course, he packed up and moved out to Los Angeles. After he was here for only about 3 months, he booked his first national commercial for the Budweiser Super Bowl. He has gone on to do many great projects, and he works with great people, directors and writers, actors, singers, casting directors. And as of December 2011, he's now being managed by a talent company, Sharp Talent, by Melanie Sharp. In his spare time, you can really catch Josh. I know he's a movie lover. He loves bowling, mini golfing, camping. And he's a guy who really just enjoys life and his gay life. I'd like to share a small, quick story, if I may, about how Josh and I met. It was November 2009. I just moved my daughter to Los Angeles from Montreal. That night that we met, I actually had ended up way off course, which I often do, and was in a CVS on a long-distance phone call for about an hour and a half, walking up and down the aisles, which I really have never done before. At the time, I was living out of a hotel quite far from where I was, as I had just moved my daughter and life was kind of on the road. At that exact moment that I decided to pick up a Lucky Bamboo plan for my daughter, I looked around, the store was almost empty. But of course, when I got into the line close to the cash register, there was this nice, young, tall, very soft-spoken, really friendly guy who started to talk to me, of course, because I had this Lucky Bamboo plant. Well, approximately about 2 hours later, out in the parking lot, after realizing we had so many synchronicities and so many things that we were connected with, Josh and I were still talking, which was just amazing. We've remained in contact and in touch since 2009, so it's over 2 years, all over a bamboo plant, which ended up was still lasting and living on forever. Surely not an accident by any means, definitely synchronic. I was so taken by his authentic nature and his loving soul and such charisma. I've chosen to bring him on my show for all those reasons. He really is the real deal. Josh is truly living a happy and open gay lifestyle, and he's proud of it, loves to talk about it, and really is, as he says, like an open book. I've been so looking forward to having him join me and come on my show to share his past. There have been trials and tribulations and adversities that I am going to give him the opportunity to talk to all my listeners about today, which have really brought him into his magnificence, and I say magnificence. Josh, hi, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful, how are you?
I'm great, thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, I've really been looking forward to this. It's like every time we talk or we get together, I learn something new about you. And it devastates me and I go, wow.
It's so kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, but you've had a lot of really great things happen to you in your life and not so great things. I have a bunch of questions, and I really, because I know you well, and I know that you are so captivating, I'm going to start, but wherever it leads, we'll just let it go.
Okay,
so,
sounds great.
All right. Take as much time as you want on each one. I think my first question probably will lead you to a lot of different places. I just wanted listeners to get a little bit of an idea or a backstory on you. So what was your life? What was life like for you growing up in Texas, which is so much different than L.A.?
Well, so I'm naturally a tall, slender guy. You know, I'm not your typical sports playing guy. I was very artistic, and I always gravitated toward adults when I was a kid. And when I was 5, I was kind of forced to grow up a little fast. My father was murdered, and my mother wanted to kind of keep me protected because of that. But then, you know, my stepdad came into the picture, and he wasn't really the friendliest guy. He was very tough and, you know, a little abusive and stuff like that. But because of that, my mother continued to keep me more protected. And when I found out what had happened to my dad, because I was lied to for a couple of years, I was just basically told, you know, because, I mean, what do you don't really tell a 5-year-old, oh, by the way, your dad was murdered.
Right.
You know, another human took your father's life from you. So I understand it now, but as a kid, I was very angry, and I kind of basically shut down. So my mother moved me into the arts to try to bring me out, because ever since I was a little kid, I loved singing. Like, do you guys remember that song, Just a Swingin', Swingin'? Do you know
no,
that song?
No, but if I let you sing it to us, you would.
Yeah, so
I do. Okay.
It's like an old country song.
Yes.
I can't remember who it's by. Maybe Alabama? Anyway, I would sing that all the time. And so mom saw that I had this little spark in me that I loved entertaining people. And she thought that, you know, maybe this would be a way for Josh to come out, you know, because I was constantly bullied and picked on. And, you know, I never understood why. I really didn't. I mean, I didn't even realize I was gay until many, 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 many years later.
Question number two. So let's go back for a minute. Why now? Do you know why now? When did you put that? When did you connect those dots and put that together? At what time?
The reason I thought that I got picked on a lot was probably because the girls always loved me. I always had girlfriends all the time.
I can understand that.
And I was a nice guy, and you know, I wasn't a troublemaker. I was a good guy. The teachers loved me. Maybe you could say that I was a teacher's pet a lot or whatever, and. You know, I was a good guy. I always tried to be friends with everybody. And I guess maybe people didn't like that. So they
jealous, intimidated.
Maybe it was jealousy, intimidation, you know, and then they started calling me, you know, names like, you know, fag and pardon my language, but, you know, like things like that. And you're like, I don't understand why you're calling me this. And it probably wouldn't have been so bad if I wasn't getting it from my brother and from my stepfather at home. So it's like I would go to school and I would get it, and then I'd come home and I'd get it. And the only, like, true love that I got when I was at home was from my sisters and my mom because, you know, they nourished me.
Right.
And
amazing.
Basically,
yeah,
and they made me realize that I was something special and that these kids just didn't get me because, Linda, I tried.
I believe you.
These stories you hear of these kids who commit suicide because they've been bullied and they just can't handle it and they don't know what to do.
Right.
Hi, that was me.
Oh, I'm sure. We've spoken about that, and that's why I think so much. I'm sorry for interrupting. I just want the listeners to know that why I knew you needed to be part of this series that I'm doing is that because in all your years of everything that's happened, to be where you are today with all that, whether it's forgiveness or whatever you've done, we'll save that for tips later in the show, but I want you to keep, you know, continuing because I know that your story just growing up is really quite action-packed.
It's like one of those Lifetime movies because it just keeps having, you know, it has a lot of ups and downs. And
there you go. There's your movie, man. You can write it. You can find you're in L.A.
I'm writing a book right now about my life.
Thank goodness.
It's fiction,
I learned something new about you today.
I
learned something new about you today. I didn't know that.
Yep. Oh my God, I've got about 30 pages. If you want to read
amazing.
Some of them,
well, just keep letting it flow. So this is a little bit of just a, you know, practice drill for you because you really have so much richness and content in your life. I really want to go back. At what age did you wake up and realize, am I gay?
I started realizing something was not, like, I always gravitated toward men. I always found men attractive.
Okay.
But I would always judge it and chalk it up to, oh, I want to look like them. I want to be like that, you know?
Right.
Or I'm missing my dad so much that I'm trying to fill him with that. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
So I would chalk it up to that. And I was just miserable. I tried dating the girls, and I love girls. One of my best friends is a girl. And,
right.
But it just, there was something missing that just wasn't right with me. So about 14, I had decided that maybe I would start looking into these feelings I was having.
Okay.
And I befriended this lesbian named Angie.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped me kind of like, we would have long talks and stuff about what I was feeling, because I thought it was wrong. I mean, I was a Christian. I went to church. I was all upset about myself. You know, I always disagreed with church. I never, ever felt that what people, what they would say was wrong, you know, but that's what they teach you. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. So I would fight it. And I'd be like, okay, finally, when I was 17, I had my first kiss with a guy.
Okay.
And I came to realization my senior year that, you know, I was gay. And I said at first, I'm bi, because that's
right.
Usually how it goes.
Okay.
And then my first year of college is when I finally came out.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. We were talking yesterday, you and I, and just for, of course, all you listeners, just for another kind of quick sidebar story, there's
Marine.
A new television show called GCB. Now,
oh.
It's good Christian bitches, right? It's not,
mm-hmm.
It was originally good or great. I don't know if any of you listeners out there have watched the show. If you haven't, my daughter and I actually was visiting, and now we make sure we don't miss a Sunday night when we see that episode or it must be recorded. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, you and I, because I know people from Texas. I know, you know, that part of the country, although I'm Canadian, I have been exposed to a degree. But literally the last show that they had on Sunday night was all about this spitfire, Carlene, who is on this movement to really kind of try and protect her children, not only from having sex. I'm talking about monogamous, you know, traditional sex. I'm not even talking about alternative sexual preferences or lifestyle. And that show really blew me away, because since then I've had conversations with a few people who have said there still are some small towns like that, you know, in the USA today where this still exists.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you talked about that, obviously, you know. You even spoke like Carlene yesterday. You went into your actor mode when you were on the phone, which was really kind of fun. But that must have been tough for you, because in those years, I'm sure you dealt with a lot of that. I don't know what Tyler is like, but, you know, if you were living in Los Angeles, right, in a different day and time, you know, you'd have all this exposure. But how many people around you really, you know, were either openly gay or lesbian that you would have even known? How
no,
would you
I hardly knew anybody.
Right. Well, this one
yeah.
woman was almost like an angel for you with the name Angie.
Mm-hmm. And because Angie was, and she wasn't judging me. And, like, I could openly talk to her about like, my feelings and what was going on and things like that.
Is she older?
She is a year older.
Oh, okay, she was your age. But that's interesting mm-hmm. that she was also, like, quite, you know, aware
her,
of where she was at.
Her aunt, Tebow,
mm-hmm.
kind of, like, accepted her. And I got
wow.
to see that acceptance and that love. And she loved
okay.
her, and she loved me for who I was. And Tebow kind of, like, took me in and adopted me kind of like a nephew. I mean, because I hung out with Tebow and Angie all the time.
There you go. Okay.
Because
that was my next question.
Because I finally
question.
Found a place where I
yeah.
wouldn't be picked on.
I was just going to say to you, you know, you talk about experiences that were challenging, and you've had quite a few. I know that you have three sisters and a brother. You're five,
I have
right?
Two sisters and two brothers.
You have two brothers.
Well, I also
you're...
have a brother and a
mm-hmm.
sister and a brother on my dad's side, but I'm only with the brother. The other two I'm estranged from.
Oh, you are estranged. Okay. And so you're close with your sisters. Are you,
I'm very close
if
to
I
my
can
sisters.
Get personal, if that's okay for you, are you accepted in your own family for your preference?
You know what? I actually am. My family wow. is so loving and
mm-hmm.
so supporting of me. They don't agree. They'll be honest with me straight up. They seriously believe in the Bible that it should be a man and a woman, but they do not judge me. They do not criticize me or down me. They treat my boyfriends, if I bring a boyfriend into the family,
mm-hmm.
just as much love. They're very open and loving and kind-hearted. I have to say I'm very blessed with my family. I truly am. My sisters, My brothers are a little more standoffish about it.
Mm-hmm.
But my sisters and my mom are amazing. My mother is like an amazing person. Like when I first came out to her, she was kind of like hesitant about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we kind of became a little bit of a strange. We weren't as close because my mother and I are like rocks. I mean, we're like
okay.
best of friends.
Okay.
And
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you finish.
I talk a lot.
No, I want you to finish the story because really, and I apologize for interrupting, the whole issue, I think a huge big issue for, and you can tell me, I can only speak from women that I know that are gay, you know, but from a man's perspective and point of view, how you just said how blessed you were and are, because I would believe that the love and acceptance from a mother, not, I mean, I can't even speak about a father. I don't know. I'm not a man. So I'm turning to you because I'm sure there are a lot of listeners today, and I'm hoping that there are, that either have a connection with someone close, be it in their family or outside their family, and struggle. What kind of tips or advice or anything could you share for those people that are finding it very difficult to not only accept themselves, right? I mean, this is a huge, long journey, but then don't have the acceptance from their mother, their father, their sisters, their brothers. That's
well,
going to make it really tough. Mm-hmm.
I can say this. When you're first coming out, you know, if you have your young listeners, when you're first coming out and you're scared of who you are, I promise you, once you finally realize and come to terms that you're not a horrible person, that you're just the same person, you just have a love that's different, you know,
mm-hmm. That's a good
it doesn't
point.
Change you. But that makes, I literally self-sabotaged my life for so many years because I was so tortured. I was angry. I was just this person. Like if you saw, I mean, you even said it. You said that even in the 2 years
mm-hmm.
that we've known each other,
mm-hmm.
you see a difference in me now.
Huge. And, you know, we're all evolving. And I think this is something I'd like you to just spend a few minutes and talk about it a little bit more, because I'm sure there are so many, there's gazillions of men out there, would be they boys or men, whatever, who are struggling, you know, with the whole coming out thing is
or not only that, or struggling with accepting people who are, you know, homosexuals or whatever. But the
right.
thing, here's what I would like to say to those guys.
Please.
Just because we're gay doesn't mean we fit into a box. We're not stereotypes. You know, there are all types of different people, just like there's all types of straight guys. There's effeminate straight guys. There's guys you see and you're like, oh, he's gay. No, he's not. He's just more in touch with himself.
Right.
I have a lot of straight male friends who will tell me they love me. And they're some of the most, like yesterday I was talking to my buddy Casey. He is such
okay.
a southern boy, good old boy,
mm-hmm.
and he'll say he loves me. It takes a true guy to accept people for who they are, even if you disagree with their beliefs. I mean, you know, according to the Bible, there's so many beliefs we could disagree with and stuff. But if you love a person, just love the person for who they are. Don't love for what they do or whatever. You know, love the person for the person that they are. That's how I live my life. I
That's
accept
wonderful.
Everybody
yeah.
because of who they are. You know, if you do something to hurt me,
mm-hmm.
that makes you a bad person in my eyes. Not
okay.
because you're black or white or Asian or Indian or you're gay or you're straight or you're bisexual or you're asexual or, you know, none
mm-hmm.
of that. It's all because of who you are. And if people become more accepting of their family members and stuff, I mean, you have no idea what it's like realizing this thing. I mean, because you wake up and you're just that way. That's who you are. It's you, and
right.
that's how everybody is. But
right.
can you imagine growing up with this feeling? It's like, and people say it's a choice. No, it's not a choice. Why would we choose to be tortured and pained and, you know, ridiculed and made fun of and stuff? It's not a choice. So please,
it's interesting.
Just,
you just taught me something, Josh, and I consider myself far from ignorant. That it's you're really even opening up my eyes to looking and seeing things differently. And it's so great that you're saying this because intentions, integrity, who you are as a human being. I think there's a lot of straight people that think gay people literally just either detest or, you know, wake up with this hate and make an active choice and literally
mm-hmm.
just go ahead and do it. Talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit more about that, if you will. What was that like for you? You said you went through years where you were also like trying to fight it.
I tortured myself. I didn't like it. I didn't because, you know, when you grow up in a society, especially in a Southern society, you know, you're supposed to get married, graduate high school, go to college, get married, have kids, you know, the traditional way. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, and I didn't understand it. I didn't like it. And I was like, not only that, like I wasn't meeting people and guys were horrible to me. It was the girls that were wonderful to me. Guys treated me horrible. I had good guy friends when I was younger, but throughout my high school years, my guy friends became null and void. My best friend even like left my life once he found out I was gay, and it devastated me. But so I tortured myself, and then I kind of started falling into the whole Army Marine thing, thinking that maybe, you know, that might be the route.
Right.
But then I fell in love with dog tags, so I like dog tags. So I wrote the Marines wanting to get some dog tags, and I ended up going into the Marines, and that night I was swearing in Dallas as a Marine.
If I had met you today or yesterday or a year ago, I'd say in my wildest dreams, I would say you were the last person that would fall into that. What was that like? Did you get
crazy
there and then it found out to be something else?
Absolutely insane. Okay, but let me make sure I let your listeners know this.
Okay.
I am a big supporter of the armed forces. I think it's great that we have it, whatever, okay?
Yeah, thank
I'm not
you. I should have
knocking
said the
anything.
Same. Okay.
I'm not knocking the Marines. I'm not knocking the Army, the Navy, or anything.
Right.
For me personally, it would have killed me.
Absolutely.
I really think that. Especially when I was only 18 and going in, and I still hadn't really come to terms with who I was. I was trying to figure all that out.
Okay.
Going into the Marines trying to figure that out, no.
That's a comedy in itself. So you really did actively go. How long were you there?
I did what they call it's a PT training. I did that for 6 months, and I actually ended up going all the way. They fell in love with me because I scored a high on my ASVAB. I scored almost a perfect score, and I was going in for radio technology.
Okay.
And they were really gung-ho about this. Like, they had to get an entry – they had to get a waiver because I was underweight because I'm a tall, skinny guy.
You are for
so
sure.
They had me in, yeah. So they had me in PT training for 6 months where I had to go each weekend and meet with the Marines and work out and all that. And then I literally ended up going, I tried to use the don't ask, don't tell policy to my advantage.
Right.
I know a lot of people, I know that's now been overturned, but a lot of people were able to use that to their advantage, thankfully.
Crazy.
But there are people who want to serve in the armed forces that are openly gay, and they want to be able to be that way. So all power to them. But I used it in a complete opposite way to get out, which was...
What did your 6 months teach you? What did you learn from that experience?
Oh,
along your
I ran. I did exercise all the time. And funny enough, I didn't put that much weight on. I have a really unique body that has a really difficult time putting weight on. So
yeah, you can
I did put a little bit of
like
muscle
a horse.
On.
I know.
Yep.
I know. Wow, that's.
But it came down to the day that I actually was supposed to ship out, and then finally I was able to. I went into more detail with that on you, but I don't think we'll have enough time to go into it. But yeah, I finally was able to get out of it. But I did get what they call an entry level exit due to the don't ask, don't tell, openly admitting to being a homosexual.
Wow, which is an amazing piece of your book. And once you got out of the Marines, did you go back, I don't know, from then, I don't know if it was New York or wherever, then did you then go, all right, okay, you know, this is it, I'm gay.
That's when I realized that I wanted to be an actor, gung-ho. I pretty much left and went to New York for about 6 months, and then I came back, went to college, and then I moved to New York for good. And then I have not been back to Texas living-wise since.
Wow. So you were in New York for 8 years, living openly gay. Were you happy?
You know, I was. I kept making wrong decisions, as I think we all do.
Okay.
You know, the wrong guy, things like that. It wasn't only until the last probably 5 years that I finally realized that I don't need to be something I'm not. Like, I was trying to be this hard guy. And, you know, trying to be tough. But you know what? I'm a softy, lovable goofball. And that's who I am. And if people don't like that, you know what? There's a million people in the world. Go find other people to be friends with or whatever. It doesn't bother me anymore because I'm happy
amazing.
With who I am.
Would you say that that's pretty much what, you know, in a nutshell, because, of course, if we had forever, we could just, you and I can do this. Would you say that that's pretty much when you came to the enlightened point and decision that this is me, this is who I am, I really accept myself, and once I do that, all those people that are accepting me are going to just naturally start flowing and coming into my space and into my life and my world? That,
I would.
Okay. So my next question, could you give from your own life experience and wisdom and from your, you know, your adverse path along the way to being open and happy with your life choice, can you give two or three tips for gay men that are out there on how to live authentically?
Yeah, absolutely. Be completely true to who you are. You don't have to fit in a stereotype. If you're not effeminate, don't become effeminate. If
mm-hmm.
you're not masculine and a truck-driving, sports-loving guy, you don't have to be that. You can be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an openly gay guy. I like cartoons. I'm a goofball. I love people. And I'm a homebody. I'm a Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm empathic. I can feel people's emotions. I'm open to the world. I'm
mm-hmm.
very spiritual. And, you know, I don't really care for sports. It's funny enough because I've had 2 commercials on the Super Bowl, and I
yeah.
had to watch it for that reason.
Cute.
But
yeah.
I really don't like sports, and but I love art. I love crafts. I love painting. I love
Passion.
Poetry. I love writing,
yeah. Yeah.
Music. I'm not a big fan of ballet, believe it or not.
Wow. So
would
you say that, you know, for any listeners or whatever, that are listening, that either know someone close, like I said, have someone close, for all you female listeners, that, you know, along this path, watching our loved ones struggle, if it's not just, you know, any men that are have to be listening in who happen to have gay preference, would you say the old quote kind of fits in here, what we resist persists? Go out and find your passions, whatever they are. Just start there. That's a good place to start.
Absolutely. 100%. And can I also say this?
Yes.
Sure. If you really just open your eyes a little more to the person that they are, you really could change their life. You have no idea what that person's going through. They may be going home that night and thinking nobody loves them, and they may be thinking of ending their life that night. And
right.
you just saying, I love you, or I accept you, or let's go to lunch even,
mm-hmm.
could change their life. I saved a girl from suicide back in high school, and she found me again through Facebook.
Wow.
And I didn't, all I did was I was just friendly to her.
Right.
And she said I was the one person that gave her hope. And
that's
I'm
amazing.
Telling you, it's just, if you open that, and here's another big fear that a lot of people have. They're
okay.
afraid that if they have a gay person in their life, or they accept it or whatever, that we're going to turn the kids gay, or that we're going to...
Good point.
Or we're going to hurt their kids.
Right.
I love kids 100%, and my nieces and nephews love me. I'm like superstar Uncle Joshy, and I would die for them, okay?
That's amazing.
I would never harm them,
mm-hmm.
and I would never hurt anybody else's kids, and I think that is a huge misconception. Just because a person is gay does not mean that they are a pedophile. It does
right.
not mean that they're going to turn you or anyone
right.
else in your world gay. It just means that we love a different person than you do.
I love the way you said that. We have 2 minutes left in the show. Time flies when you're having fun. I always love talking to you because I learn so
much. You knew
it
was going to happen like that. We could literally have a 5-hour show together.
I told you. We could do a whole series. Let me tell you could carry my whole legacy series because you have so much great stuff to say. So my last question to you, I have 2 more, but I'll try and combine them. If you could fast forward and be like a fly on the wall and hear people just talking about you and remembering you once you've departed, what would you want to hear or have them say about you? What legacy do you leave behind?
I would hope that it would be a room full of laughter
mm-hmm.
and remembering how I put smiles on people's faces. I want people to be able, I really want to change the world, which is why I'm trying to become a successful star, because
right.
with star power, we have power. And I really want to do that. I want to be able to be known for changing people's lives, changing people, just putting people, smile on people's faces, making them laugh, and being a great friend, father, husband, son, brother.
Amazing.
Uncle.
If you could go back and live your life again, would you do anything differently? Last question, and we have a minute left.
You know, if you asked me this a year ago, I would have told you yes. I would want to go back and bring my father back.
Okay.
But I believe, Linda, that everything happens in this life for a reason.
Okay.
And I think that all that makes us become who we are today. And had my father not died, had I not gone through the abuse, had I not gone through the bullying and all that, would I be the person I am today? I don't know.
Well, you'd still be amazing, but not evolved the way you are. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't say that anybody needs to abuse people and hurt them to make them become, you know,
right,
a good person. But, you know, I think that, honestly, no, I would not change anything because I love the person I am today.
You know what? When you and I first met, that was probably how we both took that hour and a half, because I did have somewhere else to go and I just was drawn to you. It's interesting that you said you have someone very special in your life right now. And you just mentioned to me, if it's okay, I just leave on this closing statement. And I like the way your partner had said to you, Josh, did you notice there were like 5 people swarming around us, you know, the other day in the restaurant or the bar? People are drawn to you. And I believe that that's really true. I must say that the acceptance issue and the fact that you're just so loving, who you are is authentic, it's infectious. That's the word that comes to my mind, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and being a guest. I know you came running back from an audition. I hope that audition will be yours. I know you go on a lot of them, and there's a lot of great and exciting things happening in your life.
My movie's coming out. I'm so excited. Well, we got into our first festival, so I'm really excited about that.
Wow, that is amazing. And I do believe that you are going to go out and change the world somehow, some way. I feel like you're going on to bigger and better things. You definitely have an incredible message to pass out, to share.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. All my love to you. I thank you so much once again for coming on. Your energy is so great. Whenever I'm around you, I'm always in a feel-good
mood. Well, we need to do dinner or lunch again soon.
We definitely will. We definitely will. We certainly live close enough, right? We're minutes away from each other.
And if you ever want to have me on your show again, I would love to come on and talk more.
That would be amazing. It would be my absolute greatest pleasure. We're hoping that there's going to be a video series, so maybe you and I will get a chance to show both ourselves in the flesh.
Well, to your listeners, thank you so much. And guys, please just have more of an open heart. That's all I say. If you have an open heart, you'll see your life change. Start looking at, like, the beauty in life. You know, a ladybug flying by. Start noticing crazy things like dragonflies and things like that. You'll have a difference in the way you look at things.
Thank you so much, Josh. I had a really great time. And all you listeners, we will hear and talk to each other once again next Wednesday at the same time. Wishing everybody a great week. And thanks again, Josh. Take care.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.